In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters in Iman, dear Muslims around the world, hello and welcome to Radio Maarif, English broadcast, from Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. The program we are presenting now is Question and Answer, which is mainly concerned with religious and Islamic issues with the presence of experts and scholars. Today, as usual, we are at your service with the presence of Dr. Rajat al-Islam Bharati, who is ready to answer your questions. For more information, you can visit our website at www.radiomaarif.ir. Okay, Doctor, thank you and welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum.
An introductory word to our listeners, I'd be glad to hear it. Okay.
Thank you very much. We are now, we have this kind of success and luck to be at your service and also service of your listeners. Alhamdulillah, I wish all the success for you and your listeners, and I am at your service.
Thank you very much. Okay, Doctor, I think we should be back to our questions, which have been sent by our listeners to the radio or to the site, or they have emailed us some questions. The first question that has been asked from one of the respected listener is that he asked, are actions part of our faith? That is, actions can be regarded as a part of our faith and religion or no? Would you please elaborate on it?
This is an old and academic question, that how we can definite iman, faith.
Yeah.
And we say in Islam we call it iman, and in English language they call it faith. Yeah. What is faith really? Is the faith only a kind of belief inside the heart, inside the mind, and no problem as you do, for example, good or bad things, or person, for example, commits crimes like this, and everything is, for example, told or expressed, doesn't harm, doesn't damage the faith. Yeah. Faith is only in heart and mind, or no? Faith is a kind of set and a kind of combination of thought and deed and speech. In a school of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wassalam, they introduce iman, introduce faith, by three elements.
Yeah.
Al-iman aqdun bil-qalb, wa qawlun bil-lisan, wa amalun bil-arkan. Iman has three pillars, or three elements. One is in mind, aqdun bil-qalb, in heart. You believe in something, really you believe in it. Then, وَقَوْلٌ بِاللَّسَانِ, you should say something by your tongue. You should speak out about your faith, admit, confess to it, say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. It is necessary. Then your action, your deeds should coincide with your belief and with your speech and with your confession. So you should pray, you should fast, you should give alms, you should abandon and avoid sins and major sins, other kinds of sins. And also there are prophetic traditions in this regard. They ask the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his household, O Prophet of God, is our, for example, is the one who commits a crime like adultery or robbery, is he a faithful person? Prophet says, no. The one who is doing adultery during this time, he is not a believer. He is not a faithful person. The one who is doing robbery during this time is not a faithful person. لا يزن الزاني وهو مؤمن ولا يسرق السارق وهو مؤمن. In this time, he is not a faithful person. In this permanent era or period, faith and iman is separated from him. So it is very much important, because there were some groups of scholars or theologians saying that no problem, as much as you commit crime or do bad things, it doesn't harm your faith. It is not true.
One thing I wanted to mention here, I wonder what is the root of this question, where this question is coming from.
There were a group of Muslims that were talking about it. They were called Murji'ah. Uh-huh. In the time of Umayyad caliphate and dynasty, they wanted to encourage people to do all kind of crimes and sins, and they said, no problem.
Faith, so belief is just what is in heart.
In heart, no problem. As much as you do such as these things, crimes or sins or, for example, violation to rights of others, no problem. You are a faithful person. Mm-hmm. Your faith is kept safe. This is wrong. This is against traditions of Prophet, peace be upon him, and teachings of Prophet. Prophets came to correct, to rectify, to make reform and enhancement in our deeds and behaviors, mm-hmm. just only to change our mind and we do as we were doing before, no problem. Reform and, for example, rescue and salvation is not possible without a kind of reform and enhancement in our deeds and behaviors. Mm-hmm. And even faith is a kind of introduction for behavior, not only to keep in mind and in this time, so there is no difference between a Muslim and non-Muslim. Between a faithful and non-faithful, because they do the same crimes, they do all of bad treatments. Only this claims that I'm a faithful, and that claims that I'm not a faithful. So we should find a difference in behavior, in deeds, in treats, treatments.
Once I saw someone, he was talking about the same topic, and he told me, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. He referred to this famous tradition. I think it doesn't have anything to do with this tradition, don't you think so?
No, that's another category, another discussion. Means that is it enough to do good deeds and actions without good aims and good intentions? No, it's not enough. Because maybe somebody does some good actions for bad purposes and aims. This is not accepted in Islam. For example, if somebody comes to mosque to say prayers and later on trick people, fool people. Deceive people. So
this is totally different from this issue that we've been discussing. Thank you. Next question that has been asked by another listener is about destiny. They asked about destiny and said, what about marriage? How far is it destiny and how far do you have the choice? Is it written to whom you should marry or do you have the choice? What is the role of destiny in this world? Would you please?
Destiny here does not mean that we should not try or we have no right for option or selection or free movement or will. Never. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that finally what is the decision we take. Mm-hmm. But it does not mean that this is taken for us by another person. This decision is not taken by us. Another person took this decision. No, we took this decision. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this knowledge and knows that what is our final decision. Mm-hmm. This is meaning of destiny here. So destiny never contradicts with our free will and our selection and option and freedom.
Mm-hmm. So doesn't Allah know who is going to be our, let's say, mate in future?
Of course. But how? Allah knows that we ourselves, by our free will, going to choose our mate. Not Allah forces us to choose someone. And we have no responsibility, we have no role, we have no freedom.
Mean, can it be changed?
After all of changes, what happens finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a knowledge about it. Mm-hmm. Before it happens, in advance, Allah has knowledge. For example, Allah knows that you will come here to this studio in this exact time. But it could not be interpreted or commented or analyzed that this means that you came here by force. Mm-hmm. Did you come here by force?
Of course not.
No. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you will decide to come here and actually you will come. Mm-hmm. Also in marriage, Allah knows that who is your option, who is your mate, and finally you will appoint her or him for marriage. Mm-hmm. But The meaning of it is not that you have no freedom here. You have no choice. That's your choice, but is known only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
Allah knows the mechanism of decision you will take it.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum 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 Ya Okay, dear listeners, you are still tuned to this program, which is titled Question and Answer. The next question is about Jannah, or Paradise. For men to be in heaven, there will be Hurul Ain, as it is promised in Holy Quran. What will be provided to women when they are in heaven?
Hurul Ain,
yeah,
is better to correct it in transliteration. This is Al-Hur Al-Ain. Al-Hur is a plural form in Arabic, mm-hmm. and does not mean only female. Al-Hur could be a plural form for male also.
Exactly.
And also Al-Ain. Al-Hur Al-Ain. Mm-hmm. Al-Ain is a plural form. Plural form for female and male. So mm-hmm. Al-Hur means who is black in hair. Mm-hmm. And Ain means who has big eyes, beautiful eyes. So for women, they, for example, are receiving or gaining somebody who is beautiful yeah. in opposite sex. And also men are gaining a beautiful mate from opposite sex. So Al-Hur Al-Ain.
So naturally the answer goes within the question itself.
Yeah, means beautiful mates, beautiful spouses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if somebody is looking for sexual or for marriage pleasure, he or she can find it in a perfect form in heaven. Mm-hmm. This is the meaning. So yeah. The meaning is you will find spouses. A spouse is used for men and women, like Al-Hur Al-Ain. Al-Hur Al-Ain is a beautiful mate and a spouse.
Now, can a man and woman who has been, I mean, let's say men and women in this world, they have been already married here in this world, be the same in the hereafter?
Of course.
Can they be
They have priority
so
to each other.
There will be no hurul in there?
No, if they like to be with each other, they have priority. They have this right mm-hmm. to stay with each other on that world also. Mm-hmm. This priority is kept for them. This right is kept for them.
And what is the, let's say, beauty of them? Would it be changed or no? The same as what they have been here?
Of course, of course. All people will be revived in that time in the best shape they had here, even in the shape of a young man and woman. This is mentioned in the Quran that we will revive them, we will give them life again in the best shape and, for example, appearance they had in this world. What is the best shape? When they were young, when they were safe and
can this shape be as
hygienic
before, as Hur Al-Ain?
In total meaning, the life in hereafter is so much perfect and complete and powerful. All the pleasures, all the powers, all the abilities, all the talents you have here, in the best quality, you will have it in the hereafter. All pleasures, all powers, all qualities, all beauties, all bestowments here you find, you can find them there in the most perfect mood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, Dr. Bharti, the next question which has been asked is about the argument that two Muslim brothers had with each other about the issue of Jannah, I mean the criteria of entering Jannah or paradise. This friend of us says that we have been discussing this, let's say, issue, and we didn't reach a good conclusion to see whether it's either our, I mean, good deeds that causes us enter the paradise, or no, there would be, let's say, another criteria to compare.
Like what?
I mean, let me tell you in detail the question. It says, proposes two ways. He says, firstly, is it just our good deeds that let us enter the paradise, or no? There would be a comparison between good deeds and bad deeds, and there would be, let's say, a sort of scale, and as much as this scale is heavier, we'll enter that part of the hereafter.
For sure, no deed and no action is lost and is forgotten there. As Quran says, Holy Quran says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. If it is even in the smallest weight or amount which could be measured, the deed, the action, is rewarded and punished. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. It means that you will see your deeds.
Yeah.
Your action, your function. Your function is alive there. Either it is good or it is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Good deeds are rewarded there in heavens and Jannah, and bad deeds are punished in hell.
One more thing. Sorry, I'm interrupting you. Because I, if I'm not mistaken, I think this listener wants to know if our good deeds are more prominent. Can they affect our bad deeds?
Both of them affect on each other. Good deeds omit and delete bad deeds.
Bad deeds
also delete and omit good deeds. There is an interaction.
Okay, the next question that has been asked by another listener is about love towards Allah and the prophets. This listener says that the prophet, peace be upon him, has said that one has to love Allah and the Prophet more than anything in the world to be successful. I don't know what is the meaning of this successful. Maybe to be saved here. It is more correct here. Could you please explain how can one achieve such within this world where love for worldly gains is more prominent and more apparent? How can one love, let's say, Allah and the Prophet more than anything that is in this world?
I don't understand the point of view of the dear listener. Maybe there are some traditions I can approach the meaning which the listener had in mind. Because there are some traditions from Prophet, peace be upon him and his household. One Arab from desert came to Prophet and asked him, O Prophet of God, when the resurrection day will come? When happens this? That we attend to the court of final day, resurrection day. Prophet asked him, what have you prepared for that day? He told nothing but love of Allah and his Prophet. Then Prophet laughed and told him, don't mind, never mind. Anytime it happens, that court and that judgment and that day, you are okay. You are safe. You are guaranteed because you have love of Allah and love of Prophet. This is one tradition. I think the listener referred to it. Another tradition is that somebody came to Prophet and asked him, O Prophet of God, is love love also a part of religion? Or in a better explanation, is love and hatred parts of religion?
Mm-hmm.
Prophet answered him, that's strange of you. Religion is not more than love and hatred.
Exactly.
Love of Allah and Prophet and saints, and hatred of the will and evil and like this. So this is the soul and the basement of religion.
Yes.
So love of Allah and Prophet is helpful for us here in this world, and is also helpful and useful for us in another world. How? Here, when we listen to Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey them, we are safeguarded here from a lot of dangers, from mm-hmm. a lot of miseries, from a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Yes? Because, for example, Imam Reza alayhi salam has explained this in a tradition to a person which was by meaning atheist
mm-hmm.
and doubtful about existence of God and righteousness of religion and resurrection and so and so. So somebody brought him to Imam Reza alayhi salam and told to Imam, son of Prophet, I am in a doubt, I am perplexed, because I have met a lot of scholars, philosophers, theologians, and asked them about this question. They could not answer me. I am still in doubt. Is there a God? Is there a day of resurrection? Is there a truth as religion or no? I could not be convinced. You help me, please. Answer me. Show me the way. Guide me. How can I receive this kind of conviction and understand, is there anything or no?
Yeah.
Imam told him, before I answer you, I ask you a question. Said, yes, please. Imam told, we suppose that there is no God, no resurrection day, no religion. We as Muslims, as faithful people, when we accept all of these and practice it in our life, do we benefit or loss?
Mm-hmm.
Is this order, systems, for example, value system, ritual system, legal system, ethical system, against our benefits in this world or coincided with benefit of individuals and society?
Yeah.
No, it's in your benefit. You gain something when you follow this system. Then again, Imam Reza alayhi salam asked him, okay, if they are right, they are true, and you did not follow them, you did not accept them, you did not practice them, do you benefit or loss? He said, for sure, I will loss. I will lose many things in here and hereafter.
Yeah.
Imam told, that's enough for you. He said, now I am
satisfied.
Satisfied. And I am by how, for example, healed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the meaning. Love of Prophet and Allah is useful, helpful, is a kind of rescue
yeah.
for us in this life and in the life after it.
I think this listener wants to know, how can he or she have a more, let's say, love towards the Prophet and Allah rather than this worldly love? I mean, let's say, yeah, which is more apparent here. Can one, let's say, satisfy himself to love more Allah rather than what is available during his daily life?
Of course, of course. If he or she knows about the greatness of bestowments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he was nothing, Allah gave him all the things he has, his existence or her existence, knowledge, abilities, talents, all of the pleasures here, all of the power the soul of mankind has, all of them is from Allah. As much as he or she thinks about it, loves Allah more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, and this is not, for example, this world love, because love of this world is for some certain benefits or some certain desires.
Yeah.
But this is a love that is above all.
Mm-hmm.
That even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes back all the things gave to him, Yeah. Also, he loves Allah because Allah has this right upon him or her because gave him all of this and now he's taking it back. And Allah should be loved because it's beautiful, it's powerful, omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience. Why we love something? Because it is beautiful, because it is lovable.
Yeah.
It deserves to be loved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the resource for all of beauties, all of the goodnesses, all of the powers, all of the knowledges, all of the beauties, all of them trace back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everyone who wants to love one of these things, love power, love beauty, love wealth, love knowledge, should love the resource,
yeah,
the original resource. Because if beauty is deserving to be loved, the source of beauty is more than everything deserving to be loved.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I think it's a difficult test because for one to, let's say, prefer, let's say, Allah to all over all what he gains in this world, like his family, his children, his, let's say, assets, it's really a difficult test for one to do it, isn't it?
Apparently, yes. For example, without any deep thinking or analyze, yes. But later, if you discover, if you go deep, if you analyze, if you reason for yourself,
if argue, you see the region,
where is the origin of it? Where is the resource of it? Where is the start point of it? All of them are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you like, for example, your wife, you love your wife, who has created this wife for you and kept it for you and helped you to find her? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sure. Or if you love your children, who has given these children to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Dr. Bharati, how can one add between these two kinds of loves? I mean, one, that worldly love and the divine love. For example, we see the Holy Prophet, he loved his daughter, I mean, the Fatima, peace be upon her. At the same time, he loved Allah. How can we add and, let's say, have a balance between these two? Are they at the same, let's say, amount of preciousness or no? They are different.
Yes. It is possible in Islam and is taught and directed by Imams and saints and Prophet himself how to coincide and how to combine between dunya and akhirah, here and hereafter.
Yeah.
Your desires and Allah's desires.
Yeah.
You can put them in a set. In this set, you put all of this materialistic and worldly love and desires under sovereignty of spiritual and religious desires.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you love food, it is a kind of desire. All people have it, mu'min and kafir, faithful and unfaithful people, they have it. And also you love your Allah, your Lord. Okay. You, when you want to combine them and to set them, put this under sovereignty of love of Allah. Say, food because I want to keep and maintain my life, continue my life, and serve my Lord. I love my children. I love my family. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered me to be good with them and to take care of them. This is easy. Yeah, even if you don't believe in Allah, you love them. Now you believe in Allah and love them. Put them in this, for example, hierarchy, in this, for example, grades, under the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And this worldly love finds a sort of divine love.
Yeah, no problem.
Divine role
no
in
problem.
It.
But if you give priority and sovereignty to this materialistic and worldly love, that's not good. It's against faith and against iman. Not only having this is good. And you know, Prophet, Imams, faithful people had even more severe love to their family, to their daughters, sons, wives. But how? in the way of directions of Allah and love of Allah. Never it happened that they find a contradiction between love of their family and love of Allah. And it is mentioned in Quran, it should not be the love of family and materialistic things should not be against love of Allah, preventing you from loving Allah and His Prophet and His faith. So put them under disposal of your upper law, your spiritual law. In Islam, there is no contradiction between dunya and akhirah,
exactly.
Between here and hereafter. But if they are not good understood and they are not good used, if they are used, Islam itself encourages love of children, love of family, love of your property, keep guard it. Even says that man qutila duna malihi wa ahlihi fa huwa shaheed. If somebody is killed in defense of his property and family, is considered martyr, is considered shaheed. But the intention and the vision is important. How to look at and how to do it, and what is your intention? It is important.
So we can gather and combine these two kinds of love so that they find, let's say, a divine shape.
Of course.
Okay, Doctor, thank you for your presence and your nice answers to the questions. I thank you once more. Dear listeners, I appreciate all the mails, comments, suggestions, questions that you will send us to our email, or you can contact us through our telephone numbers. Our email is radiomaarif@irib.ir, and you can reach us through our telephone number, which is 0098-251-291-0551. Okay, till our next program, thank you and goodbye. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah.